It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Durando is the running back. Start on the ground. And Durando out in front, down the sideline, being chased. One man to beat, and that man stops him, but at the 4-yard line. So of all crazy things, a 76-yard run.
And I feel like we got to get back to having these loud old babies, right? Yesterday felt like the old baby set the tone for the day. There was no way the 49ers were going to lose this game, right? And they don't. They go to 3-3, improve to 3-3. They finally get a division win. They finally get a win within the NFC conference. And they beat Seattle for the sixth straight time. How about Isaac Garendo, huh? How about that rook out of Louisville? Baldy's been all over him. Garendo can run. Well, he finally saw a crease, and we saw the speed. And Shasky, you know I'm a sucker for speed. I love having speed on a football team. Nick Bosa showed speed. Water showed speed. Renaldo Green and Malik Mustafa showing athleticism. And how about those 49ers getting another win up in Seattle again? Sixth straight win against the Seahawks. Now we have a victory Monday. So let's talk about it. Shanahan, Purdy, Bosa. It was loud this week. The noise. It was loud. How we feeling, Niner fans? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. I didn't even say good morning to the graveyard shift workers. Didn't even say good morning to all the cops, the firefighters. The teachers, the students, all the students who are wearing their Niner jerseys today, the teachers with the red and gold ribbons in their hair, everybody wearing their jerseys today on a Victory Friday, including those overnight dancers who are going to have the 49ers short shorts and the 49er bikinis and all that stuff happening at the overnight clubs, or overnight dancer clubs, that is, the gentleman's club, you know what it is. Shasky, come on! I know you feeling good today.
Feeling great. The offensive line was really good yesterday. I thought that Trent Williams was excellent. Kyle Juszczyk was excellent. Obviously, we've been talking about Dominic Pooney. He was really good. And I thought Purdy did a great job when there were free releasers, free rushers to make a guy miss and then basically either negate a negative play and live to see another down or scramble to make something happen. How about that play where he scrambled around on second down and found Juwan Jennings for a first down throw?
Juwan Jennings just sitting right there in a hole waiting for everything to clear in that zone defense, and Purdy making a hell of a throw right there. The third and one throw, which was behind Deebo Samuel, but for Shanahan to call that play on third and one on that first drive, I thought everything was just working out perfectly. The offense, look, the last thing for this offense, because there's a lot of improvements to make, putting away teams, which they did yesterday. It took a while, but they finally put Seattle away. Converting touchdowns in the red zone. Their red zone creativity has to get a little bit better. They still dropped 36 points, and they left a lot on the table. So you scored 36. You left a lot of food on your plate. A lot to improve on for the 49ers. But it's when they're watching that film today, saying, boy, we have so much potential. So much potential. It feels good today. Feels good to win that division game the way that they did, in the fashion that they did. Oh, I'm feeling good today, man. There's nothing like being Seattle, Shasky. I don't care. I can't stand Seattle. I really can't.
Well, I want to go through some of my notes here because I obviously diagram every play and I put them all in, but the whiffs on kickoff coverage are going to cost this team down the stretch. It's something, you know, when you have a lot of injuries, you're forced to play players that aren't NFL players on special teams. If you've got guys that aren't starters starting, you're going to have guys that aren't NFL players as special team players. You can't suit up 1,000 guys. And so they've got to shore that up. I don't know how you do it.
You have to get healthy is how you do it. And so George Odom slots back to special teams, and you're not playing guys like Jalen Mahoney on special teams. But special teams had a mixed bag yesterday. The kickoff return was a problem.
They were kicking it short.
Yeah, look, Matthew Wright was not hitting the end zone. His leg was not as strong as I thought it was. But you do recover a fumble on a kickoff team. You punch a ball out, you recover a fumble. And you know what? Special teams, the kicker, he goes 3-for-3. I'm not mad at that, Shasky. Going 3-for-3. not mad at that at all.
No, I might be a little agitated that we kicked three field goals, but I'm with you. You know, he was good.
And Mitch Wisnowski, the guy who dropped off yesterday, Damon in San Francisco, because I remember you laughing. You're like, I want to take his call. Wisnowski's the X Factor. We all laughed. But Mitch Wisnowski punted his ass off yesterday, pinning them inside the 10, three kicks inside the 20-yard line. I know we talk a lot about punters and kickers. We want to disrespect them when they do something wrong. But how about giving them some love and some credit? Wisnowski deserves love and credit today.
Okay.
He does. Come on, Shasky.
I said okay.
Come on. That was a condescending okay.
Okay.
Give him some knock. Come on. Give him some love, man.
Mitch Wisnowski.
Come on. Break it down. You got thoughts on everything.
You saved Wisnowski
us. Was good.
Well, I mean, he was good, yes. But I thought the secondary was really good in this game. If you look at a lot of the hidden yardage that happened for Seattle, a lot of it was on these like middle of the field screens. I mean, they just did it over and over and over again, and basically getting all their linemen out in front to block against a bunch of smaller secondary players. I thought Brown was excellent yesterday, considering how he's been shaky the last couple of weeks. Malik Mustafa made plays. Odom still scares me. Diamond Lenore was awesome. And I thought Renardo Green had ups and downs, more ups than downs for a young player. They were going no huddle Seattle a lot in this game.
They were.
What did you make of that? Like college-y offense.
Well, they were desperate because they were trying to pick up the tempo desperately to go no huddle. They needed a spark. They needed to try something because lighting up in the huddle or running the football wasn't working. Protecting Geno Smith was not working as Nick Bosa lived in the backfield all game long. And number 97, that was probably his best game of the season. He was phenomenal yesterday up in Seattle. So that's why they had to go no huddle. They had to give a little joke. But real quick, because you know me, I got to give equal opportunity. I got to give love. Credit where credit is due. And nobody's going to talk about it. Everybody was freaking out about the game. It was 23-17, right? They were 23-3. Chenault has a 97-yard kickoff return. The Niners come out and punt. Third and 18. They don't convert. They throw it to Deebo Samuel. He gets 15 yards. And it's like, damn, here we go with the momentum. Wisnowski had three straight punts. I had to give him love. Wisnowski had a punt to the 6-yard line, had a punt to the 18-yard line, which, you know, obviously forced a fumble there. They had bat ruling
it
there.
Should have been a fumble.
And then his next punt, the Niners down and at the 3-yard line. So that's three straight punts inside the 20-yard line. Two of the three punts going inside the Seattle 7-yard line. That was big to keep to at least maintain field position. And then after their last punt, they start their possession at the 3-yard line. Geno ends up throwing an interception. Yeah. So that's three straight punts by Wisnowski. While the game was getting hairy, while everybody was freaking out, two of his three punts go inside the Seattle 7-yard line. Got to give him love there, man. Wisnowski, he brought it yesterday, punting the ball. That's an element that we don't talk about, but I'm going to do it right there, right now. Wisnowski, you make it a game ball as well.
What did you? You've obviously praised Bosa throughout the show today. What did you think of the other guys on that defensive line? I thought Kevin Givens and Leonard Floyd, though, didn't get a lot of credit for tackles and sacks. Thought they played pretty well.
They did play well. Who's our boy? Okawadu?
Yeah, he was in the backfield.
I mean, he was in the backfield, number 91, Flash. And then Malik Collins, who we don't talk about enough, number 99. He was pushing that pocket as well inside. So I thought the defensive line played really good complimentary football. It wasn't bad at all from this defensive line, led by Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa has to set the tone, but the other guys follow.
What did you make of when Garendo came in? They were doing these like rugby style tosses. They weren't like sometimes you see the tosses that are like a lob toss. Mm-hmm. Purdy was spinning these tosses to Garendo. I'd never seen them do that. It was like a whip toss.
Yeah, it was whip. He was.
I liked it. It was like kind of like get him the ball out on the edge and let him kind of make the decision whether to cut in or go to the outside.
The 49ers' first offensive snap felt like they had a miscommunication on a handoff there. Jordan Mason got the handoff, but it looked like Purdy pirouetted the wrong way.
Gotcha.
I don't remember that first play, play they had inside their old 5-yard line. It was a little funky. It was like, uh-oh, we gotta get on the same page here. But those tosses, when you do whip it, I get a little nervous because running backs, you see them dropping a lot. Those make me a little nervous, those quick little whip tosses outside.
Well, it wasn't the these like lob tosses.
Yep.
This was it reminded me of rugby where you're like almost spinning it as you're throwing it over there. It was just interesting. There's always these wrinkles that Shanahan throws in that I appreciate that I don't know how many other people pick up on.
Let's go to Mark from Eagle, Idaho. Where is that?
It's right next to Boise. Is it right next to Boise? Yeah, so they're like right on top of each other.
Oh, look at you getting out the Bay Area.
Yeah. Am I wrong?
I don't know.
There's a lot of Californians that live in.
I didn't know you left California.
In the Eagle Boise area, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Good knowledge.
Thank you.
How you guys doing today? It's such a good day when the Niners win the night before, don't you agree?
Oh my gosh.
What a great day.
Can you imagine if they didn't win that game in the way that game was going?
Oh my gosh.
Today would have been a disaster.
I kept saying, here we go again. I kept saying, all right, so here we go again. But I just had 3 points I wanted to make and get your replies off the air. First, Bosa was amazing. The defense played well.
Number 1.
I would just like to see a few more blitzes coming in instead of just the 4. I know that's what they like to do, but I know a couple of games ago they sent some pressure and had a lot of luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the special teams really need some work. That goes without saying. And thirdly, I'm so glad they found a way to win after it looked like they were going to fold like a cheap suit, but they came through. So just like to get your thoughts on that, guys. Great show. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for calling from Idaho there. I'll start with the rushing four. I love rushing four and trying to get home. And I thought the front four got home most of the night there, or at least forced Geno to move off the spot in the pocket or throw erratically. I thought the front four was excellent yesterday. Whenever you can get pressure with the front four and you don't have to blitz, that means there's 7 guys in coverage. Against those wide receivers, Lockett, DK Metcalf, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba, as well as Noah Fant, I like having 7 back in coverage. So the less you can blitz and you can get home with just 4, that's ideal to me, because you don't want to start blitzing against guys like Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott. They'll burn you on a blitz.
Yeah, I just thought Bosa did a great job collapsing the pocket all night, and he was using his power rush and his leverage very well. The other thing I was thinking about in the first half in particular, it's tough to blitz when you do have Devondre Campbell on the field, because you're asking him to cover a lot of space, or a man in man-to-man with a lot of space, and I don't think that's their best path to having success.
I just love the fact that you could get pressure from a front four. That's what made Philadelphia good a couple years ago.
It's the New York Giants.
It's New York Giants when they won their Super Bowls. Any front four that you get, like the Denver Broncos team that beat the Carolina Panthers in Super Bowl 50 right down the road here at Levi's Stadium. You know what? When you could get pressure with just a 4, and then when you do send a blitz, it makes it that much more devastating, that pass rush. But ideally, you want to just drop 7 back in today's NFL and try to limit these playmakers. There's too many damn playmakers there. So if I could get home with 4, that's ideal. I don't need to blitz.
I forgot to ask you this morning about your thoughts on Patrick Taylor Jr. wearing number 32.
Didn't mind it. He ran hard in that 32.
I mean, that's a number that you hold in high regard.
I do love 32 of Ricky Waters. I do love it.
Kendall Hunter
was good, and I think Ricky Waters. So that's 32.
I know.
That's a 32.
It's obviously, you know, Ricky. That's, you know, why I said it to you.
You know,
who also played for the Seahawks?
Yeah, he did play for the Seahawks and the Eagles. He was a good Seahawk. He was iconic. The moment I remember when he was a Seahawk was him crying after 9/11. He had the American flag in his head. Ricky ran hard for Seattle. I think he had a 1,000-yard season up there at the King Dome. I didn't mind him. The number I had a problem with last night was the kicker, Matthew Wright, wearing number 35. What a hideous number for a kicker, man. Oh, my God.
It's a DB number.
It's just, when I think of college kickers, they're always wearing, like, number 35, number 87, number 98. I'm like, man, just give it a kicker, any type of number. Just tell me you're weak without being weak. You know what I mean? I don't like those numbers.
Well, maybe it has significance to him. So, whatever, but it's fine.
6'5" asking, did I have some skin in the game? You're excited today. No, I'm happy with a victory.
Bonte,
trust me, I didn't want to come in here after a loss.
Bonte and Al Michaels both had the over.
Yeah, I didn't bet on the game. I don't bet on Niner games, man. It's too emotional.
Did you think that the defense adjusted to obviously the situation in the game, and given that they were running no huddle so much and throwing so many screens in the middle of the field, I thought they did a really good job just kind of not gassing out after only playing a game 3 or 4 days ago.
No, their stamina looked really well, but you look at the time of possession in this football game, I thought the Niners offense did a really good job. And maybe at times the Niners offense was their best defense. The Niners had the ball for over 33 minutes. Over 33 minutes of action. That's 7 more minutes or 6 more minutes than the Seattle Seahawks, of course. But that's big. When you're able to run the football and control the change and go on long. Look at these drives that they went on yesterday, the 49ers, that is. Your first drive of the football game, you go 13 plays, 90 yards. All right, later on, you had to one play 76-yard drive, which skews things when it comes to time of possession. But later on in the first half, you have a 14-play 77-yard drive that results into a field goal, but you take 7:43 off the clock. You take 5 minutes off the clock at the start of the third quarter. Later on in the game, you take some clock. So I thought they did a good job of staying on the football field, extending drives there. Defensively, they held up very, very well, and I thought the adjustment was made. It's easier to make adjustments when you can get home with four guys. It helps out your young secondary.
So you're talking about the time of possession when I'm looking at, you know, they always like break like halftime stats, like where everyone's standing. Niners are dominating the yardage. They're dominating. I think they had like 250 yards with like, you know, 18 minutes into the game, mm-hmm. right? Let's just say. And you're like, how are they only up 16-3?
Yeah.
At halftime. And then when it's a 7-point game, 6-point game, 23-17, you're thinking, here we go again.
Yeah.
Here we go again. But that's why I think it was very important that we give Nick Sorensen, as we've been, you know, destroying this guy for 4 or 5 weeks now as Niner fans, like, hey, man, they held up yesterday. They held up. And his young players, his very, very young players, looked prepared and ready to make plays. And I think it's important.
Let's hear from Bosa, who gets my game ball for yesterday. Nick Bosa, that's right, folks. For all the haters out there, Nick Bosa gets my game ball. Here's what he had to say. He said he was proud of the guys.
Anybody with a uniform on could play well. And Thursday night games are tough. There's definitely, your legs feel it, especially when it's a battle like that. And there's so many people going in and out that I can't even keep track. But I didn't know JP got hurt, but I saw him rotating all the running backs. So I'm proud of the guys.
Proud of the guys. What about the close plays? Because he almost got home a few times there. They didn't quite finish, but you know what? His impact was felt.
It's a finishing business, especially when you're me and you're expected to finish. And there's a couple close ones there where it almost fall out, game over, and I just got to keep going. It's a long year, and just look at the tape, try and finish those, because that's what players like me need to do.
I like the accountability. I like it.
Pretty good awareness. It's a finishing league, and I'm one of the players that has to finish. Paraphrasing, that's save that sound for down the line. That is incredible awareness.
Incredible awareness. Incredible here.
I thought he was really good.
And he talked about bringing. Oh, he set the tone for the first play. Nick Bosa, number 97, showed up.
You obviously want to bring a high sense of urgency every game, but when your backs are against the wall, it kind of brings it out of you. And I'm just glad when the momentum swung there, we stuck with it. And that was kind of the message all week. And we got the win.
What about Shanahan saying that? Because he was discussing that, hey, man, we've blown a lot of teams out. We've been able to relax in fourth quarters of football games. But that's not really how this league operates. This league is hard. This league is tough to win football games.
So he's relayed that Steve message. Kerr moment?
Yeah, he relayed that message to the team after the game in his post-game locker room speech, which Fred Warner was really feeling. But here's what Shanahan said at the podium about that.
You know that we're sick about those two losses that we had, and talk about some losses are harder than others. And when you feel like you had those won, especially division games, and that's made us sick about it. And, you know, we've gone on a stretch here the last 2 years where we've won a lot of games in a row, and a lot of the fourth quarters and some of those win strings these last 2 years haven't been that tight. And guys have been able to relax a little bit and stuff. And we've been talking about how these two losses are a reminder on how the NFL works. And I think we got a little spoiled in that way of just human nature of sometimes feeling too relaxed, and you can never feel too relaxed. I thought we played real well in the second half, but that doesn't mean it's easy to win. I mean, that's how it works. We played well. They played well. They came back and made some plays, which made it tighter, and I was glad that our guys could fight through that, realize that games are really never over, or you can just sit and chill in the fourth quarter. You got to go beginning to the end, and got that experience today.
So, you know, yesterday, you and I were talking about, hey, you know, we got to win. Let's win big. And all
those
things.
Win the game.
Well, I had expressed an opinion that I would like to see a kind of back and forth, see a little bit of adversity, because I think it's good for this team to win a crunch game. Like, you need to win one of these tight games. And the way that game ended up going, now you were in control pretty much the whole time, but you were in control. But the game was in the balance throughout the beginning of the fourth quarter and into the middle of the fourth quarter. And so I think that there is a lot to be said for winning that game that way against that team. And I don't know if Seattle's that great, but I think they have great personnel.
Well, you have a lot of new guys contributing, right? And we're going to get to the call of the week after Vizucci in just a second. But when you have Renardo Green, who hasn't been on this team, Malik Mustafa, Dominic Pooney, you got a lot of youngsters here contributing in high-leverage situations. They don't have the experience of playing in close games. So I think it was huge for them. So now when you play Kansas City next week, they're going to make plays, the Chiefs, that is. But you have the wherewithal to say, hey, it's a 60-minute game. We got to finish. And to finish the way they did, having a game 2 days and four nights up in Seattle, you got to get on the flight. You got to go up there and play a physical game. It's loud. The decibel level is loud. Al Michaels can't talk about the decibel levels. Like, okay, Al, we get it. It's very, very loud. The youngsters, getting this experience was huge. Let's go to Vernucci real quick. Let's go to Vernucci. I'm not going to let you get in on Al. I'll do it. I'll take it from here. Vernucci, El Dorado Hills.
What's going on, fellas? And man, does it feel good on a Friday after a 49ers victory. And, you know, Bonte, I know you said you had no skin in the game, but I had skin in the game last night with my pastor at our church. And, the bet was really if the Seattle Seahawks won, I would have to go ahead and wear Seattle Seahawks gear at church on Sunday. And Thank God that the Niners pulled it off. And guess what? He's going to be sporting Niners gear at church on Sunday, baby, with my brand new fitted Faithful to the Bay 49ers jacket. But here's the things that I really liked, and I called in on Monday and talked about this, but love Green. I know he had ups and downs, but man, he shows flashes, and I love him over Yadam at that point. He just had a really bad game, 22, and you saw he got lucky on one of the plays where the running back was wide open and Smith didn't even see him. It's like he had no whereabouts of where he was. The other person I loved was Mustafa. Man, does he fire, man. When he sees it, he fires, and that's super intimidating, especially for some of those Seattle Seahawks wide receivers that had alligator arms, baby, because they felt him coming. The one thing I do want to see them kind of switching up is getting Campbell out there and putting back in Winters. I love seeing D. Winters' athleticism and his speed. And Shanahan, I'm proud of you, man. I keep you accountable, but I'm so proud of you actually listening and getting juice involved. It balances out our offense and sticking with the run when we needed to control the clock. So thank you all so much. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you all next week at the Chiefs game, baby.
Absolutely. Good call, Vernucci. Good call. Let's get to call of the week, and then I got a little something special. Baby Jaylee, who's a baby Raider fan, Shasky. The Niners won bigs. They won so convincingly yesterday, I guess, with the terms of domination and the yardage and the first downs and the touchdowns. I think we're converting Raider fans into Niner fans.
Baby Niners!
What?
Baby Niners!
You represent the Niners? They had a good win last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did have a good win, huh?
Baby Niners!
But guess what? It's still Raider Nation, Raiders.
I can see it.
Basically saying, I can't say that. It's Bang Bang Niner Gang.
Wow.
Baby Raiders turned into Niner fans. They started at a young age. She knows what the winning side is. Can't root for a loser, baby Jaylee. Come on now. You know better. Call of the week. Let's go to call of the week. This week's caller is call of the week. No, yeah, all right.
I was waiting for you to set it up.
Well, no, the beat usually comes in when I say call in San Francisco, who called out Nick Bosa.
The real issue here, fellas, the real issue with the San Francisco 49ers, and it's been building, is that the 49ers cannot close games out. It's gotten to the point where if we're not up three scores, the game is in reach. Step on people's necks. Close out game. The Cardinals, come on, man, clean it up. There's a lot of football left, but there are changes that need to be made. People need to stop pointing the finger outward and start pointing the finger inward. Take some damn accountability and go close out a football game. It's always bang, bang, Niner game. Let's go.
That was Cole. Caller of the week. Call it to the morning rush, and if your call is better than the rest, you could be named the caller of the week too. JJ San Jose will get you on the other side. He says the Niners have a lot of things to work on. What do the Niners have to work on? Red zone efficiency, obviously. I thought they tackled much better yesterday, Shasky. Tackling was good. Maybe we sent some cut-ups to Nick Sorensen. Hey, that was a good tackle. I don't think I missed a lot of tackles yesterday.
I'll tell you on the other side.
Unless Mr. Mahoney, he missed some tackles on special teams. That really grinds my gears. Can't miss special tackles on special teams. But anyway, we'll continue to recap this good win. We're feeling good on the payday / victory Friday on the morning roast. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
Missed. Debo off to the end zone. Touchdown 49ers.
This is Turtle Pop Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on a morning roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yee!
I really wasn't even looking at the safety. At the beginning, you know, I kind of had to fake block the outside linebacker. And he fell off, and then I see the ball in the air. And, you know, once the ball in the air, we always talk to attack it. And then whatever happened, that's the day. You know, talk to the races.
Off to the races, indeed, Bo. He may not be the fastest guy, but if he gets behind the defense, he finishes that play with touchdowns. Not first downs, but touchdowns. A big-time play to go up 10-0. Al Michaels on a call for Amazon Prime. Can I just say this real quick? I know you got your beefs with Al Michaels. I think their pregame show, which has potential to be great. Thurston Thompson, Tony Gonzalez, Andrew Whitworth, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who couldn't talk yesterday.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is terrible.
Let me just finish. And Richard Sherman. I think they don't utilize Richard Sherman enough. He should get the first thoughts at all times coming out of the break. He should get the first question on the game because he lives it. He studies it. I think he's really good. Richard Sherman needs to be highlighted a lot more. And I just think four guys is just a little too much. It's a little too much. Tony Gonzalez, Andrew Whitworth, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Richard Sherman. I got to keep Richard Sherman around. He's legit. I think he's perfect on television. I like hearing from Richard Sherman. He gets on my nerves sometimes. I call him split cap Sherman sometimes because I don't know if he's a Seahawk or a Niner. But Sherman gives great insight. I got to utilize Richard Sherman more. And those halftimes are only about 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Now, the pregame show, you need multiple bodies. I get all that. But I just think they got a guy or two too many, and it needs some work there. So Richard Sherman, I would have utilized him a lot more. That's all I'm saying.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is terrible. Get him off my television. He looks like a clown, and he talks like a vanilla wafer. No, you know, get him off my TV.
Hey, listen.
He's a bootleg wannabe Shasky. Pat McAfee till he opens his mouth, and then he just bores me to death.
Shasky.
The guy is the Shasky. Literal
talks
definition
like
of ambient
sound. Like a vanilla
sound.
Wafer.
Well,
he's terrible. Listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick is terrible.
Well, Shasky, just saying. You never know if Amazon's going to be hiring one day.
Well, they'll love my assessment of being honest.
No, just stay.
I mean, come on, dude. It's okay. It's all good. We can keep it real. It's called criticism. He's not good on television. All right?
He played constructive criticism.
He played for 8,000 teams. He's not good. He's just not good on TV.
Just have a little more tact. That's
all. Okay.
Just ask for a little more tact.
Look, I am your consumer. I want to get to Debo before you can keep going. So Debo Samuel, because we heard his highlights coming in and we heard him talk and whatnot. Last year after the Eagle game, come in, and I honest to God thought it was one of the greatest, like, let me talk a bunch of smack so I'm writing a check and let me come out and cash it on your face. When he came out and basically dismantled Philadelphia and ruined their season. And it catapulted the Niners, and they never looked back. It was an all-time, like, this is who I am type of a game. Yesterday, watching Debo take that house call early in the game, it was a tone setter, and it was just another reminder. Like, Frank Gore's career, we can go, there's a lot of great runs, amazing runs. Frank Gore, all-time player. Jerry Rice has probably the longest montage of long touchdown runs of anyone that I can think of. My God, Debo Samuel. When we're going to look back at his career, he has got some 5-yard, 10-yard plays that he takes to the house, but he has so many deep balls he takes to the house, too. His montage of 50-plus yard touchdowns is going to be 10 minutes long.
You know what's funny is I remember before that Philadelphia game, we got a lot of calls saying, well, Debo better step up. He's been talking. And my thought is, in the Niners' biggest games in the last 5 years, for the most part, Debo Samuel always produces. He's had all-time games and all-time moments. All time. And so when it comes to big games, I'm actually surprised when he doesn't produce, like the Super Bowl. I'm surprised when he doesn't produce, like the divisional round game, but he got knocked out of that due to the shoulder injury. Debo Samuel's an all-timer when it comes to the 40. And it's funny, we had Rob Stats-Guerin, who doesn't believe he's an all-time Niner. But when you look at these big plays, how many players in this league can take a 5-yard hitch and go 70 yards? How many players can take a wide receiver screen 80 yards? How many players can high point a football and then go 76 and outrun linebackers and DBs, even though he's not going to tear your clocks up when it comes to 40-yard dashes? Debo Samuel with Kyle Shanahan, and the fact is that he's lined up in the backfield and playing running back at times, kind of help alleviate some of the load of a Jordan Mason when he's carrying the ball and he's being physical and trucking over to us. It's like, hey, we got to spell Mason. They go to Debo, and he's running tough between the tackles. A couple times he got popped. I'm thinking, damn, we got to run Debo between the tackles like this? But he does whatever whatever he has to do to help this football team win games more times than not. So Deebo Samuel's an all-time Niner in his last eight games against Seattle. Again, when it comes down to your divisional opponents, do you step up and play well? Well, in the last eight games against Seattle, he scored eight touchdowns. He's had 877 yards on 49 catches. So against Seattle, he saves his best for last. He's cooked Seattle alongside George Kittle and company.
It just feels like every time this team needs somebody to step up and they're like one nail away from being slammed into the casket on the season, this dude just pops up out of nowhere and just carries them.
How about this? In the last eight Seattle games, or last eight games against Seattle, six of those games, Deebo Samuel's gone for over 100 yards receiving. So whether he's a running back, wide receiver, I just call him a playmaker and a game changer. And in the last eight tries against Seattle, he's changed the game multiple times.
The only thing I hesitate. I know why you do it, and I like it in certain situations. And I get yesterday because if everyone was hurt and you didn't want to like lose Garendo on that play. Don't love him as the kick returner. He did it, I think, twice, yeah, if not three times yesterday. He got blasted on one of them.
Never have. I don't want him on punt return or kickoff return. He's too important to this offense.
I think there's a time important. And a place, and it's late in the season or in a must-win situation like yesterday. Again, didn't love it, but I get why you do it.
Yeah, no, I don't love it. I don't love it at all. Let's go to the Lions. JJ, San Jose. JJ, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Good morning. Hell of a win for the Niners. Even on the broadcast, they were kind of saying it, that the win would mean more for the Niners because of the implications or whatnot. But I just want to get to a couple of things. It's nice to see them finally go over 30, because I honestly thought that the talk around the offense was that was the standard to at least break 30 every so often. I remember, Bonte, you were saying last year, not granted with CMC, they were probably the top offense since the 94 team or whatever, but it was good to see them come through, and even for the defense to close the game out like that. But here's my worries, though. This team is still showing its inconsistencies, mm-hmm. And here's what I mean. The second half for the past three games has been our worst enemy. With Green making that pick, kind of flipped the script on that. But without him making that play, it was the same old story the past couple weeks. Here's my other thing that worries me about, the inconsistency. Deebo had a great game. I believe that these players are good enough to be consistent in having these at least similar to kind of games week by week, and we're just not seeing it this week. So next week, we'll get there. This was a good stepping stone win for a huge measuring point game next week. Yep. They got to stay consistent and come through next week. Because what happens, Vontae, when we come next week and
break it up a little bit, JJ. We've got some breaking news from Adam Schefter. NFL's leading rusher, 49ers running back Jordan Mason, is believed to have suffered a sprained AC joint during Thursday night's win at Seattle that is not considered serious. But he will undergo further testing today, so we'll get a timeline of that. But right now, it's a sprained AC joint in his shoulder that Mason is dealing with. So we'll get an injury report later on Jordan Mason after he has another MRI and undergoes further testing. But Jordan Mason right now with a sprained AC joint in his left shoulder.
Is this Debo's fifth or sixth season, technically? Because he was drafted in 2019. So 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and I guess this would be six. Yeah. So this is the middle of six. I mean, he's already at 40 touchdowns. He's probably going to – what do you think? You think he gets to 50 in a Niner uniform? It's going to be tough to do it this year, but you're looking at him and George Kittle having overlapping careers, and both are going to be in the top 10 when it's all said and done for their tenure in total touchdowns in a 49er uniform. That's pretty impressive.
I mean,
it's pretty impressive.
I think George Kittle, as we talk about Deebo Samuel, and I don't know where he's going to slot in terms of, wide receivers with the 49ers, but in terms of just playmaking ability and just game changers,
football players, yeah.
He's a top 10 game changer in 49er history. He may be entering top 5 game changers slash playmaking ability in 49er history. And there's a lot. Look, there's Jerry Rice, there's T.L., there's Roger Craig, there's Christian McCaffrey, Frank Gore, if you want to put him in that category.
Hugh McElhaney.
Or Frankie Albert.
Highlight. I mean, I know but he's one of the great highlight players of all time.
But Deebo Samuel might be right there. When it's all said and done, Deebo Samuel, when it's all said and done, could it be a top 10 playmaker offensively for the 49ers in franchise history? Just think about the last 6 years. As a rookie, helping his team get to the Super Bowl.
He's been amazing. But, like, your point is well taken. I know we forget about the Ken Willards and the Gene Washingtons are never going to get the love. These guys racked up great numbers in an era where they just didn't score a lot of touchdowns.
Well,
you know,
think about this.
I look at someone like Dwight Clark. Like, Dwight Clark had an incredible career and was highly productive. So, like, I know, Debo's amazing.
How about this, though, with Debo? He became the first wide receiver in NFL history with at least 20 rushing touchdowns and 20 receiving touchdowns in his career.
See, now that's interesting to me because what he is, it's different. It's very different. But what he is kind of what I wanted Percy Harvin to be coming out of Florida. But he's way more physical than Percy Harvin.
Harvin was physical. He just had the migraine issue and he had an injury history.
Debo's Percy, load.
So
Percy was great.
Percy
but
was
this
great.
Is what I thought he could do.
So, you know, again, he's in a league of his own when it comes to that. He's in a league of his own. And in his last 8 games against Seattle, we look at what you do within the division. How do the Rams feel about Deebo Samuel?
Oh, they hate him.
Right? He's had monumental games against the L.A. Rams. Well, in his last 8 games against Seattle, again, 877 yards on 49 catches and 8 touchdowns. In 6 of the 8 games, he's had over 100 yards. And then you bring up George Kittle.
George Kittle's so good.
Is there any tight end you're taking in 49ers franchise history over George Kittle?
Look, I'm holding out. Like, Vernon Davis has more touchdowns than him, but George is a better player than him. I think he's a more complete player than him and just a better player overall. Vernon was a great player. Vernon had the drops. He did, but he was also the premium weapon on a team without a lot of other premium weapons. Like, Crabtree had 1 year overlapping the Vernon, you know, maybe a year and a half overlapping it. They were dying for playmakers in the red zone, so he was primarily, outside of Frank, your number one guy. For George Kittle to do this when you have Ayuk and McCaffrey and Deebo, that's the part that I'm like, what? Well, if he was on a team, like, let's say if we would have flip-flopped it and Kittle would have been on those teams that Vernon was on, I think Kittle would have 65 touchdowns by now.
Think about it. Vernon Davis was a 6th overall pick in the first round coming out of Maryland. He was expected to be great. We didn't know who George Kittle was when he was drafted in the 5th round in 2017. Oh, an Iowa tight end. Okay, cool. Maybe they're big. Maybe he could block. Well, George Kittle has been an all-time Niner, and his numbers are going to rank up there with the best of the best. And you think about what he's done against Seattle. In his last 6 games against Seattle, you got 26 catches, 464 receiving yards, and 7 touchdowns. And he saves his best for when they travel up there to Seattle. So I don't know if I'm taking a tight end above George Kittle in 49ers franchise history. When you think about it wasn't the catches, the great touchdown catch on the first one where he runs the out route, Purdy throws a laser beam, a dime, and George Kittle shows great footwork and hands. It's the block he had on Julian Love early in that football game to pancake him and just drive him into the turf. Like, that's a tone-setting point where it's like, this guy blocks, he catches, he talks trash, he has fun, and he's a leader on this football team. And more so than anything, he really enjoys being a member of the San Francisco 49ers. You could tell it means a lot to him to be a Niner.
Well, he's a more impactful player, but he reminds me so much of like what Pablo Sandoval meant to those Giants teams. Yep. Like the heart and soul. Mm-hmm. Like when that guy gets a hit, it means more to the dugout. And I look at someone like Kittle, when he plows somebody, you've referenced it a few times, but he goes near the sidelines and he plows a couple guys. He can easily go out of bounds. It just
looking for contact.
It just sets the tone for everybody else in the team. Look, this is the reality of George. The way he plays, he's going to go into the blue tent. Mm-hmm. He's going to, like, in the final quarter, I think he went back to the locker room twice.
Right.
And then he comes out, he catches a touchdown. Yep. He's going to get hurt. He's going to miss games. But you want that guy on your team when push comes to shove. And there's nobody else I want in a foxhole more than him.
No doubt about it. Let's go to the lines. DJ and Pinole. DJ, what's happening?
Good morning, fellas. What's going on? DJ. Happy Niners Victory Day.
Good morning, DJ.
A couple of things. First of all, I don't watch the Amazon broadcast. Jasky, you could not have been more accurate about Al Michaels. That guy is so unmotivating, and his commentary is so boring that I honestly had to watch the third quarter on mute. Second of all, whenever Curbstreet at the end of the game was like, the Niners haven't won a championship in 30 years, Al Michael was trying to play like, what? That's surprising. Just terrible. Anyway, the O-line yesterday looked constipated in getting their blocks off, especially Juszczyk. He got pancaked on at least three times. And I know he's going against bigger linemen, but you got to open up wider spaces to give the running backs more opportunity. Anyway, that's all I got for y'all.
Good call. Herbstreit, and I don't know how many people picked up on it. He had the sweet watch with the gold, like, double thick bracelet going. He was feeling it. Herbstreit wasn't bad.
No, I think Herbstreit needs another partner. Sometimes when you have partners, they can bring out the best of you. So Herbstreit, I think, holds back a little bit. And it's just sometimes Al, what I noticed yesterday with Al, because everybody's going to say the intensity and everything like that, whatever. That doesn't bother me as much as when he just interjects to give me the second to 10, 39 seconds left, and they have two timeouts. And it's like, yeah, we see the score book. We can tell that it's second to 10, and they have two timeouts, and we know what's on the clock. And it kind of just interrupts Kirk Herbstreit and what he's breaking down, and it doesn't add or enhance what Herbstreit says. Also, I think the replay system on Amazon doesn't show a lot of replays at times on critical plays. I need to replay every play. It's football. You got 40 seconds to put to the play clock. I know you got packages you want to go to and sponsorship reads, but not enough replays. But Al doesn't enhance Kirk Herbstreit to take it to another level. Well, Fowler knows how to set up Herbstreit. And, you know, what is this, year three between Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit? They haven't gotten better. And I thought initially they were fired up. I got big game feels initially. And then they settled in, and it became just
Fox and ESPN are just better. They're just
Amazon,
better at it.
Yeah, I just think the entire package Amazon could be better. Yeah. And then, look, they're new to the game. They're learning, so I'm going to give them some time. Fox was in a home run right away. We thought they had potential. Now they had a lot of guys come over like Madden and Summerall or whatnot. So give Amazon some time to figure this out. But I do think changes will come next season when it comes to the Amazon Thursday Night Football package.
Well, it's just like you're seeing it with Bob Costas right now. The internet is unforgiving, first off. But we just want you to be as excited as we are. You know, like the audience is right. They want you to be excited about what we're watching and that it's important because we're investing our time in it. And when Bob Costas in the playoffs for baseball is like, and that's a double play. Like, what? That's a huge inning-ending double play for Kansas City. Everyone's like, well, what are you rooting for the Yankees? And when you see Al Michaels on the Debo touchdown, Debo, I was like, what? Doc, that was a huge 76 or whatever it was yard play. Like, come on here. And then you could see him, and this is where the prep, and I know Roxy Bernstein, who does a lot of work, and I saw Kate Scott put in a lot of effort when she was working on her broadcasting skills. If you don't know who the starting safety is for the 49ers and Malik Mustafa and how to pronounce his name, I could hear and see him fumbling for his papers. And Malik Mustafa with the interception. Oh. You could, in real time, see him process. He's like, all right, we got to go in another direction.
You know what it is? These executives and producers, when you have a Bob Costas and Al Michaels, their resumes are impeccable. Their resumes are next level. Olympic Games. The Miracle on Ice is Al Michaels. Bob Costas has been around everything. You think Bob Costas should take NFL on NBC as a studio host, as well as the OJ Jeep Wrangler situation during the NBA Finals in 1995 or 94 between the Rockets and the New York Knicks. They're iconic. It's kind of like we're going to go through it with Crook and Kipe. Getting a little long in the tooth. At times, Kipe, you could tell, was like, oh, he's showing his age at times. And it's okay to say, they've been doing it for a long, long time. They're all-time legends. But I'm saying that to say, as I get a little guru impersonation here, it's tough to tell these guys, hey, you're done. Get off the air. It's tough to tell them. Like, Crook and Kipe, we're going to get to a point where fans are going to say, boy, you may need a little more Dave Fleming. It's tough to tell a legend. You know, it's Gary Radish is another example. Was Gary Radish?
These are local broadcasts.
I hear that.
There's a big difference between a local broadcast and one of the largest corporations the world's ever seen in Amazon.
It's just an example of just like, it's tough to tell all-time announcers or all-time people in their positions, hey, it's time to give it up.
Amazon cut their teeth by crushing the competitors for being a step slow. That's how they've become
no, I hear that.
The conglomerate they've been. When I listen to Tirico, Tirico's like bang, 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 bang. He knows everything and everyone. It's like,
he's
hey
good.
Man, there's too many talented broadcasters. We're
he's
not
in his pride.
For Vin Scully and for these local broadcasts, these local teams, you can wax nostalgic. For a national audience, there's zero patience.
But Al Michaels is an all-time legend who's done every sport, so it's tougher. Like, Summerall wasn't as great towards the tail end of his career. And Summerall got kicked to the curb and started doing Dallas Cowboy games, basically. It was just in Dallas, so, you know.
Marv Albert got told to go away. Those guys are getting older. It happens.
He got
national
older.
But Marv Albert
was long in the tooth. And I always say his last great game was the Klay Thompson Game 6 game in Oklahoma City. He did like another 3 years after that, and he was struggling. But again, television networks on TNT, ESPN, it's tough to tell these guys, like, hey, they're legends. They're legends. You're going to let them die on the microphone. Okay. It is what it is. So one day they're going to move on from Costas. They're going to move on from Al Michaels, and then we'll complain about the next announcer. That's how it's going to work.
I mean, we'll move on to the Niner game, but I just look at a corporation like Amazon. They literally we're the most efficient, we're going to be the cheapest, and we're going to be the best at everything. And if you're not willing to partner with us, get out of here. That's literally how they've become what they've become. And I look at that broadcast, and it's none of those things that company stands for.
Well, you know what? They're just getting into the NFL. I'm sure they will figure it out at some point. They're just getting their skin in the game. It's going to be a long, long road with Amazon. They're not going away anytime soon. Hell, they're going to have the NBA after next season.
No doubt.
So they're going to figure this out, and they're going to learn from their mistakes with the NFL, and they'll move on, and we'll stop talking about it. But, again, Al Michaels and Bob Costas, as much as we crap on them, I'm going to give them props, dude. Their resumes are impeccable, dude. They're all-time legends. So I don't want to slander those guys because they've forgotten more about the game than I'll ever know about the game. Let's go to Miguel in San Antonio. Miguel, what's happening?
Yo, Bonte, Shasky, what's up, guys? Victory Friday. Let's get pumped up, faithful. What a game. What a game. Finally, just an all-around performance. The entire team just stepping up, and I think that just came from Shanahan, just his excitement, just his the way he was out on the field. He was into this game. With all the leaders on the defense, on, you know, Bosa, Warner, even in the secondary, we had Lenore out there. And then on the offense, Purdy, you know, I said he needed some help, and you know, Debo stepped up, talking about missing a dual threat with McCaffrey. We got Debo out there, dual threat, just, you know, with those sweeps, just expanding that field. First receiver to hit 20 rushing, 20 receiving in the NFL history. I mean, the team just stepped up. I'm just happy as a Niner fan to see this. Going into the bye this Sunday, I get to just relax, watch the NFL, and then hopefully we can just come in, just kick the Chiefs in the teeth, and put, you know, they got us in the Super Bowl, but we can end their undefeated streak this season, and I'm just looking forward to it. Just looking forward to it, and just so happy, guys. Happy Victory Friday.
It's a great point about Sunday, because you get to just sit back with a win and enjoy Sunday with not a worry in the world.
We'll be watching Arizona Green Bay. What's going to happen there?
Who are you rooting for in that one?
Well, you got to root for Green Bay.
Arizona. Right?
Arizona wins, they're tied for first place. I think they have the tiebreak over the 49ers. Obviously, they have the head-to-head tiebreak over the Niners, and I think they'll be percentage points ahead of the 49ers there because of some tiebreakers. But anyway, I want Green Bay to win. Let's send Arizona to 2-3 or 2-4.
2-4, yeah.
2-4.
Yeah.
Let Green Bay win. You'll see Green Bay a little bit later in the season.
When they showed the standings at the beginning of the game, it was tough to view. It's like, wow, we're 0-2 in division. We're 2-3. Like, it was tough seeing us so low.
But you know what? You'll get a game in Arizona. There'll be a lot of Niner fans there in the desert. You'll get another crack at them. And you get Seattle and the Rams back at home at Levi's Stadium.
When are those games?
I'll pull up the schedule here.
I know the Arizona game in Arizona, that's the last one of the year.
Wow.
So I know that one. And then
that'd be a tricky game. That'd be a tricky game, the last one of the year. They play Seattle November 17th at Levi's.
Okay. I see. I like that's a little more spaced out. I like that.
And they'll play the Rams December 12th. And that's another Prime Video game, Amazon Prime Video. So you'll get another dose of Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit for all you Al Michael lovers. Let's go to Eric in Dublin. Eric, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Appreciate you guys taking my call.
Absolutely.
My kids love it. We all ride out to every day in the morning listening to you guys. So.
Thank you.
But just want to disclose my feelings on last night's game and just get your opinion on it. What do you guys feel about Jake Moody and now this new kickers came in? I didn't feel 1 ounce of, like, shakiness when the ball was in the air. I'm usually on my edge of my seat with Moody. So I just want to get you guys' opinion and what you think about that.
I thought the kicker was great yesterday. The only thing that I'm, again, it's a nitpick here. He just didn't kick the ball on kickoffs really deep. I mean, it was all really, really, really short. So I don't know. And obviously it didn't work out for the Niners. But on the field goals, yeah, I thought he was money.
Yeah, no, he was solid.
I had zero expectations, quite frankly.
Yeah, I didn't like the number 35, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. Number 35 on a kicker.
I love how, like, there's certain numbers that you just discriminate against. I love that. You do that with DBs, too. Yeah, what was your guy, number 48?
Oh, number 48 or 47? Was it Colbert?
Well, 47 is a good safety number.
I forget who the corner was, dude. He got roasted that Miami Dolphins game by Ryan Fitzpatrick.
See, like, you could be in the 40s and be a safety. Ronnie Lott, yeah, no Tim McDonald, John Lynch.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but, like, not at a corner.
Not at corner.
41, Witherspoon. Was it? No, was it Mosley?
Toy Cook wore 41.
What?
Toy Cook.
But wasn't Mosley 41 originally?
May have been. Yeah. And then what did he change to?
Four.
Single digit?
I think he went four.
Yeah, I think he went four
after that.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm still getting used to guys wearing zero.
Yeah, no, you can't. You can't. Yeah, the schedule shaping up very, very nice for the Niners. A big time game against the Chiefs coming up.
You can't wait for that game, huh?
I can't wait to dive into it. Listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HG1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. They love me. Let's get to the Friday flush, man. Let's go.
Let's find all the buttons here that I got to press. Yes, it is time for the Friday Flush, brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. For all your flowing water and plumbing needs, make sure you check out their website, flowingwater.net. Guys, this week, we got to flush Bob Costas. For as rough as Al Michaels has been, it's been a rough, rough week for Bob Costas. For instance,
no respect.
I got this base hit from Giancarlo Stanton here. Did it happen on a weeknight in October or an easy Sunday in May? You take the listen.
Stanton hits one well in the gap at left center field, and that's going to get down. Soto heading for third and being waved home. The peg to the plate is late. It's an RBI double for Stanton, who pumps his fist as he arrives at second base, and the Yanks jump in front, 1-0.
Yeah, don't need to get any excitement there. It's only October baseball. Then, of course, the one that everyone's really talking about.
Evan does play-by-play. That was a good call.
It's October baseball. Come on.
It's the first two innings of the baseball game.
He's about to set up the more damning one, but that one I didn't have a problem with.
Yeah, fine.
I will set it. Fine. Wow. You can flush that one if you want. But we're all flushing this one.
Line drive base hit to center field. It was smothered out there. I don't know if it was caught.
It was caught.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. What a play.
That was when I texted Thray and I said, Costas, put some glasses on. It wasn't even close. I actually texted Thray at that moment. I was like, Costas, put some glasses on. That was bad. And that's, you know, it's getting up there in age. He's had a hell of a run. Hell of a run. You're going to make some mistakes when you get up there in age.
In corporate America, we call that early retirement.
Well, you know.
We got to take Grandpa's keys away from him.
Yeah. Well, here on the Morning Roast, we call that the Friday Flush, brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. For all your flowing water needs, plumbing needs, go to flowingwater.net. That is the Friday Flush, gentlemen.
I thought John Sterling's call was worse on the Stanton home run.
I love Sterling's
Can you play
call.
Sterling? Can you play Sterling's call?
I have to go and pull it.
Oh, I thought we had it in the system from yesterday. Well, I thought his call was awful on the Stanton home run. You want to talk about a game in mid-May? That's what John Sterling sounded like. Maybe they're just high up. Where's the press box at Kansas City, the Kauffman Stadium?
Didn't he also, like, this? He's retiring, basically.
Yeah,
so,
he is. But that. I mean, so you guys want to talk about, you guys are slurping up John Sterling's call. His was worse than Costas's.
There's a difference between local
and national.
Local and national. And no one is disrespecting. No, I'm actually keeping journalism alive by holding people accountable.
Oh, my God. You're keeping journalism alive. Jeez. It's terrible. I think it's more egregious for a local broadcast not to be excited. If anything, the local broadcast needs to be homers. They need to be obnoxious. And the fact that John Sterling's call wasn't obnoxious and it wasn't riveting, I think it's more egregious to have the local broadcast not excited.
I think of Vin Scully. I think obnoxious. You know what I mean? Like, no. What?
No, I think local broadcasters, they got to show a little bit more excitement there.
I'm saying you're allowed to age I think there's way more leeway for an older announcer who's kind of, you know, losing it a little. It's tough. It's tough in any television, radio, medium, or whatever it is, aging. Just say that. It's tough, right? But I think for local is different than national. National, we're just cutthroat, dude. Like, no, we got to move on.
But these guys nationally have the resumes that are just top-notch. These are first-ballot Hall of Famers at their profession.
The best especially, in the game right
and
now
what?
In the NFL.
And I'm a little surprised at you. Al Michaels used to call Giants games.
And he was on, mediocre.
Show some, show, show some
Lon
love.
Simmons was
guys,
the
guys, he's got Do You Believe in Miracles, one of the greatest calls of all time. He'll be immortalized. See, that's my thing. Like, Al, you can do whatever you want. You got one of the greatest calls in sports history. Like, that keeps you on the air 5 years past the time you should be off,
well,
just
that
on
was
that
four
one
years
call
ago.
Alone. Well, so we got one more year.
Let's go to Shaka in Berkeley. Hey, his Vikings are playing good. Hey, 5-0. Hey. The Vikings are a problem, Shaka.
Hey, man, how you
hey, Shaka, hold on.
Thank you,
hold on, Shaka. Hey, I got to do this for you. Boy, that team is scary.
Hey, man. Thank you, man. Thank you. Hey, man. I had to call, man. You got to get off Al Michaels, doing his name like that. He started as a Giants announcer. He used to play-by-play for the Giants before y'all time.
Yep.
Gary Park was before Mark Abanez. It was Gary Park at Channel 2. The games used to come on Channel 2. And y'all are Giants fans. Al Michaels started off as a Giants announcer. He's one of the greatest announcers of all time.
All time.
I hate when people talk about legends and in the same line of work as them. You got to give the guys the respect that came before you. He's kind of, you know, I can understand maybe he's getting, but look at the touchdown. The guy from Seattle, the safety just overran the play. Debo caught the ball and beat the linebacker for the touchdown. It wasn't like the Jefferson 97-yard touchdown, so it wasn't that exciting. It was a great play for the Niners, and I'm glad the Niners won for y'all. I respect the Niners. They're
Shaka,
a great team.
This is why I love you, Shaka, because you respect greatness. You respect those who came before you. And that's where I'm at with Al Michaels. Yeah, he's getting long in the tooth. We know he's not in his prime. But I'm not going to disrespect the legend, man. Those guys have been doing it for a long, long time. Monday Night Football, we grew up with Al Michaels, for crying out loud. Iconic games, iconic moments. I'm not going to do that to Uncle Al. I'm showing him some respect, Shaka.
Thank you, man. That's what I all wanted to have. You have a good weekend, brother.
Hey, there you go, Shaka. Voice of reason. Voice of reason. I think a lot of people on the Comcast Business Text Line are agreeing. Show Uncle Al some respect. He's a legend. Now, John Sterling. We always play John Sterling and prop him up all the time. Listen to this call on Stanton home run. We want to talk about lack of passion. Listen to this.
Now, here's the 3-1 to Giancarlo. Swing on, a high fly to left. Back goes Melendez on the track. He's at the wall, and she's gone! A Stantonian home run. He drove a high fly deep left into the Yankee bullpen to give the Yankees a 3-2 lead. Giancarlo, Scopalo. And the Yankees now take the lead with 6 outs to go.
He's 86 and he's retiring.
What is this, spring training?
What's great is you got to watch the video that they posted on WFAN Sports where he's doing his little motions and stuff. He does a little fist pump with Stantonian blast, and it doesn't match like the words at all, but you got to love the actions that he's doing.
What is this, spring training? We in Tampa Bay, the Yankees spring training facility? What's going on here? Eddie on Ontario, California, right? Or are we in Canada right now, Eddie?
No, Ontario, California.
Oh, okay. Sure. That's where you guys got the big UPS hub. I remember Ontario, 917.
Yeah.
There we go.
Just had a quick stat for you guys. Was curious if you could kind of get close. So, since 2022, there's only 3 quarterbacks that have had the most games with 3 pass touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Our boy Brock Purdy being one of them. Where do you think in those 3 does he fall?
Wait. I think he's number one, right? He's got the most games with 3 touchdown passes, no interceptions since 2022. I think he's number one.
That's right. He's number one with 8, followed by Josh Allen and Jared Goff with 6.
There you go. He's been really good, and he was really good yesterday. Before we get to we got a special segment for you, Shasky. We're going to go down to San Jose in just a second. But Brock Purdy, I'll look at the games against Seattle again. Dominance over Seattle. They had Russell Wilson, who was a thorn in our ass for a long, long time. Well, now they're probably thinking about Brock Purdy saying, we have no answers for this guy. His last four, 1,049 yards, passing, 114.3 passer rating, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's carved up Seattle. And he's 3-0 at Lumen Field. 3-0 at Lumen Field. Brock Purdy is. Love that. I love it. It's your time. Before we hit the break and we take the rest of the calls at 888-957-9570, we had a special debut in San Jose yesterday, Lovey.
That's right. We're starting a new segment today in honor of Sharks phenom Macklin Celebrini. Guys, we are calling this 60 Seconds of Celebrini.
It's time for 60 Seconds of Celebrini.
Celebrini exchanges. Shoot, star!
Where we recap all the great things Sharks phenom Macklin Celebrini did last night.
Wouldn't you know it, the number one overall draft pick, Macklin Celebrini.
Your 60 Seconds of Celebrini starts now.
That's right. So Macklin Celebrini wasted no time putting his first goal in the net last night. 7 minutes in, guys, this is how it sounded.
Shovel the long for William Macklin. Here is Celebrini pulling up, spinning, shoveling. They score! Off a deflection in front. Celebrini and Macklin combine. And the Sharks have the lead.
Yeah, that is Mike Monaco on the call for ESPN. Little reverse there behind the back shot that ricocheted off of Blues defensive man Matthew Kessel's skate. Macklin also added an assist a few minutes later, helping Tyler Toffoli get his first goal of the year. But Macklin, first goal, how did that feel?
I got the puck there with a little bit of space, and I saw Ekki driving the net, so I just decided to create some space and make a play to the front of the net, see if he could get a stick on it. I actually didn't know I scored until he told me a little bit into the huddle, I'm just happy when I'm...
So, obviously, the Sharks were up 4-1, but were not able to hold it together. They got to learn to finish, lose the opener 5-4 in overtime. But, guys, that is your 60 seconds of Celebrini.
Dude, I love that. And he's 18 years old. He sounds every bit of being an 18-year-old. And I went to sleep. I was watching the game. It was 4-3. They had just killed a penalty. I'm thinking, wow, the Sharks going to pull an upset. Here we go. And then I just looked at the box score and was like, wait, they lost 5-4, gave up 3 goals in the third period, and of course won in overtime as the Sharks lose. But love that. Celebrini debut. He's got Draymond and Looney in his suite, waving the towels, wearing Sharks uniforms with the chains. How about Macklin Celebrini? Shark fans, we have hope. Come on,
absolutely
Sharkies.
Absolutely incredible.
My Sharkies, we have hope. We have hope.
Our Sharkies.
Surprised you weren't in the suite with Draymond.
I should have been down there, but the Niners were playing, so I knew we were going to do the show on the Niners. So
it's always a fun game.
Couldn't make my way down to the tank. Couldn't make my way down there. It's great to see Draymond and Looney having some fun representing the Bay Area teams and young Macklin Celebrini.
Draymond has a new football podcast, too.
Yeah, with Jordan Schultz.
Yeah.
I wonder when he starts his hockey podcast, too.
Hey, man.
In fairness, he's been in on Macklin Celebrini for a while.
Him
so
and Drew Remenda starting their own hockey podcast would be incredible.
That would be good. How about this? Renardo Green defending DK Metcalf, 3 targets, 1 catch, 8 yards, and the interception. How about DeAndre Lenore? Gets DK, 2 targets, 1 catch, 10 yards. Those corners played very, very well.
DK had a couple of... Well, he had the touchdown that was called back where he just flew by Odom, and then he had a drop on the Odom play deep right before halftime, which they got kind of lucky on. Yep. You know, just a straight up, they got lucky on. And then he had a weird one where he broke open. Geno threw a perfect ball, and only one arm came up. I don't know if he didn't see it or what.
What was going on with DK? He was out of sorts yesterday.
And then did you see when he grabbed the headset and was talking to the...
Talking to the offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb. He was ticked off. You, whatever saying, who was the sideline reporter? I forget her name. She was really good.
She was good.
But she goes, you know, DK was just yelling at people saying, I don't need no freaking pep talk. Stop giving me pep talks. Give me solutions on how to make a catch against this 49ers defense.
I think that man, honest to gosh, needs an offensive coach and someone who's not going to coddle him, but just like put their arm around him.
Yeah, no
like
doubt.
Not everyone needs to be kicked in the pants. Like some people need their arm wrapped around. I fear that the Chiefs get him one day. I fear.
Don't speak that into existence.
Other teams can get him too.
Why any team in the NFL would ever trade with the Chiefs is beyond me.
Yeah, not right now. So the Niners get a win. Sharkies come up short, but Macklin Celebrini plays well in his debut. Number one overall pick, just 18 years old. My Yankees going to win. They advance to the American League Championship Series. How about Jose Ramirez and the Guardians, huh? They force a game five, and we have a game five tonight between the Dodgers and the Padres. More of your phone calls coming up. What you like? Who's getting your game ball with the 49ers? 888-957-9570. And where's all the Shanahan haters? The Shanahan haters, pretty quiet this morning. Pretty quiet. I haven't heard from you guys. Robin Sanbruno, TC, the Shanahan haters. It's been crickets. It's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking. No compromises. Your phone calls coming up here on The Roast. You know, I'm just well-rounded.